Desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. The title of the message this morning is A Lad and His Lunch. We're going to read this account in the book of John in the 6th chapter. We'll make mention that one of the historians and commentators had mentioned, and I did not go out and double check this myself in the scripture, but I thought it was interesting when I was reading it that this account in John chapter 6, verses 1 to 13, this event that took place is when Jesus fed the 5,000 men, plus women and children. So normally, there's more women and children than there are men. So we're talking about many thousands of people that Jesus fed. They said that this account is the singular action in Christ's life that was reported in all four of the Gospels. So this, you know, something that Jesus did. Obviously, we read about his resurrection and we read about his death in different of the Gospels. But we read many times different accounts of different things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they said that this was one event that was in all four Gospels. And that's noteworthy. So Lord, help us this morning as we look and read about a lad in his lunch and how that is relevant for us this morning. So in the book of John, chapter 6, I trust my voice will hold up. I'm actually regaining my voice. I had about lost it, and I'm thankful for that it is as good as it is this morning. But in chapter 6, we'll begin reading verse 1. It said, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh." Now, if you will take note, Jesus, in some of the other Gospels, it said Jesus went out into a desert place. And we read about Jesus here going up into a mountain. And so where he went was an isolated place. It was not a place that you would necessarily go to find a lot of people to witness to. What happened here when Jesus went out, as in other instances, Jesus had just received word that John the Baptist had been beheaded. Now, I don't know about all of you, but I know what I like to do in times of grief, in times of bad news, in times when my heart is sorrowful. I like to get away. I like to be away. I like some alone time. I need to get away and have an opportunity with the Lord and just to get away from the noise of life. Jesus did that. And if Jesus did that, I know it's all right for us to do that sometimes too. Jesus wanted to step away from the multitude. He'd been ministering and he'd received news that his cousin, someone that had been out preaching of foretelling of Christ coming, and of the message of repentance, that he had been beheaded because of his stand for truth. I would say that would make you pretty heavy hearted. And Jesus needed some time to go and pray. He needed time to go and be recharged in the Lord. And so he began trying to get some distance from him and the multitude and the crowds that were following him. He was not seeking isolation in an unhealthy way. I know sometimes people, they seek isolation and it's not healthy. Well, I just want to get away from everybody and they isolate. But yet Jesus taught us when we pray, where are we supposed to go? Closet. Yeah, he said, enter into your closet. He wasn't preaching or teaching against public prayer. He wasn't saying that we literally need to go in our closet at home. But the point was, find a place that you're isolated from all the affairs of life. In other words, leave your phone outside. Don't bring your phone in your closet with you. Get away from all the activities. And it's all right to when you're sitting in front of the computer to pray, or when you're mowing the yard to pray. But there's a time that we need to isolate ourselves from all the noise that's around us. And I remember, especially with young children, it's kind of hard. I know, even, you know, you hear the moms, you know, all over the house, and the husband starts going, Renee, you know, you starts like. And then I found it very interesting, especially with young children. You know, mom can even go into her room or back into the bathroom and someone's knocking on the door. You know, mom, there's no escape. Those of you that have children know what I'm talking about. But there is a time to try to find a little bit of space, to have some quiet time with God. And that's what Jesus needed to do. So he went out into a desert place. He went up. And he did not find the isolation that he was looking for. Mothers, to you especially, sometimes you will not find the isolation that you might like. But your children are worthy of your care. And that's exactly what Jesus showed to us. He was wanting to get away. He was wanting to have a little quiet time. But the multitudes followed him. The multitude followed him out by foot. Out of the cities. One account, I believe it's the one in Matthew, says they followed him out of the cities because they knew this is a man that works miracles. And we want to know what he's going to do, and maybe I can be a recipient of one of the miracles of Christ. Well, they saw his miracles. Jesus lived a life of good works, didn't he? That's what he did. They saw his miracles. It said they saw what he did to those that were diseased. He healed all manner of sickness and disease. You know, that all just as a little side note, that our lives are to be like Christ, aren't they? That our lives are to be full of good works. We can talk about our faith. We can talk about our doctrinal stand. We can talk about what the Lord has done in my life. But yet, in the book of James, the scripture in verse 2, it says, what is a prophet, though a man that hath faith and hath not works? If we say we have faith, but we don't have works, what good does it do anybody else? Well, can faith save us? James said that faith without works is what? Dead. It's dead. Our faith means nothing if we don't have works to back it up, folks. Jesus was an example of that. I have my needs. I wanted to get away, and yet when he saw a place that he could minister, he saw people that were needy follow him out in the desert, he was there to minister to them. So in verse 3 it said he went up into a mountain, he went up into a high place, and he sat with his disciples. And verse 5 says when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he said to Philip, now he turned to Philip and he asked him a question. He said, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Why was Jesus worried about what they had to eat? You came out here on your own merits, on your own 2 feet. You followed me out into the desert. Why was Jesus concerned about what they had to eat? In the book of Matthew, and I love this passage, it's in Matthew 14:14. It's comforted me many times, and I've tried to share it with others. But it said, when Jesus went forth and he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. He looked on the crowd that, you know, I need my alone time, and yet there's all these people here. I can't get away from them. And he didn't send them home. It said he was moved with compassion. Do you know that the Lord is still touched with the feeling of our infirmities this morning? When we have needs in our life, when we are struggling, the Lord looks on us and he is moved with compassion. Sometimes you maybe you have felt judgment from other people. Maybe you have felt judgment from your family. Maybe you have felt people in the congregation, and feelings are not always true, right? Devil works in feelings. Everybody in the congregation is looking down their nose at me. That might just be your feeling. It might not be a reality. All right? So be careful about feelings. And yet, we know that Jesus looked on people in their sinfulness, in their temporal neediness, and it said he was moved with compassion. I am so thankful I have a Savior this morning that looks on my life when I have needs and my problems, and he's moved with compassion. I'm going to follow him out in the desert. I want to be that importunate widow. Lord, you can't get away from me. I'm just going to follow you, because the Lord looks on and he loves us this morning. And if you feel a little bit isolated, if you feel misunderstood, or maybe you feel understood real well and it's just not good, there is a Savior that is moved with compassion at your need. And Jesus looked on them and he healed their sick. Do you know that nothing was said about their worthiness? Our good works should not be dependent upon someone else's worthiness. Well, if you're going to help them, are they worthy of your help? If a child is hungry and their parents are lazy and not working when they could, does not a child, don't they need something to eat? You say, but are they worthy? Yes, they're worthy of it. They're hungry. If someone is in prison, and you say, well, go visit the prisoner. Are we only supposed to go visit those that are unjustly accused? He didn't say, well, when Jesus in Matthew chapter 25 talking about works, he didn't say, if they deserve to be clothed, give clothes to those that don't have any. If they deserve to be fed, give them some food. He said, no, I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison and you visited me. There was nothing said about who was worthy or not. Jesus is moved with compassion on everybody. Lord, help us to follow Christ's example in that. That we reach out. Now, I usually do not give money to people on the street. I don't want it to go to drugs and alcohol. But you know what? If someone's hungry and the Lord inspires, then I can go buy him some food. I can go to Walmart and buy him some groceries. I can help someone in ways that kind of will prevent the misuse of funds. We're to be wise stewards. And I can't feed the world. I can't feed everybody on the street corner. But, you know, there are some children that I can feed. There are some children, and whether it's in our country or other countries, there are people that are going hungry that I can help out a little bit to do something for them to make a difference. But the scripture doesn't say anything about worthiness.
Right.
It was about need. So Jesus looked on them and he was moved with compassion. Thank the Lord for that this morning. And in Matthew as well, in the 16th verse, and this is the scripture that correlates with the one in John, it said they need not depart. See, here in this account, he looked at Philip and said, how are we going to get enough bread? Where are we going to get enough bread to feed everybody? Jesus told in the book of Matthew, he said they need not depart, lest they faint by the way. I don't want these people to go home hungry. They've been with me. Do you know the Lord wants to meet our needs? You know, the Lord does not want us to go away with just these continual needs in our life. The Lord wants to minister to the needs of our hearts. Well, in verse 6, it said, this said he to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Have you ever meditated on that passage? Did you get what he did? He looked at Philip. And he asked him, where are we going to get bread for everybody to eat? And then it said he said that to prove Philip, because he knew what he was going to do. You know that when we face big things in life, there's this multitude, thousands of people, and you turn and say, can you imagine if 15, 20,000 people showed up at Monarch? Do you know what the kid cooks in the kitchen would be doing? I'll tell you, they'd be turning to this pastor saying, Lord, we have no way to feed 15,000 people. But do you know that with God all things are possible? Just a little foreshadowing here. When things get placed in the hands of Christ, he can start multiplying things. But he looked and said, what do you think I can do? He was just going to see what Philip said. Do you have faith in who I am? Do we have faith in who Christ is this morning? When we come with our needs and our problems, do we have faith that God can do the impossible? And so it said Jesus knew what he was going to do. Do you know that with the problems that you might be facing, Jesus knows what he's going to do? And we're all worried and we're struggling with how are we going to make it and what are we going to do? And the Lord just said, I'm just kind of proving you. What are you going to do now? I know what I'm going to do. Can you trust me? Can we trust the Lord more this morning? Are there areas in our life that we can put more trust in? Because we're so concerned when we look at circumstances, when we look at situations and look at how big the problem is, and it's like, this is impossible. And the Lord's saying, yes, I know that, but you know who I am? I mean, do you know what I have? I've got a plan. You know, this quote, this is often quoted at graduations and for young people, but Jeremiah 29:11, probably many of you all could quote that. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They're thoughts of peace. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. But do you know, there's a reality to that. It's more than something that just sounds good at graduation ceremonies. The Lord has a plan.
Yes.
I know what I'm going to do. And so Philip answered him and said, well, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. You know, what we have available here, it's not enough. Have you ever told the Lord how little you had? Lord, it's just not enough. There's not time. There's not enough. The situation is too big, and it's just not going to work. And so he responded that way. But one of the disciples, Andrew, thank God for Andrew. I don't know how much we read about Andrew, but we read about him here in this event that took place. Andrew, who was Peter's brother, he said to Jesus, there is a lad here, and he has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Now he's asking Jesus a question. I like that better. Rather than saying, Lord, there's not enough, could we not be a little more like Andrew and say, Lord, this is what we have, but how is that going to be enough among so many? In other words, I'm going to put the question back to Christ. Lord, this is what's available. And sometimes Andrew could have just sat there and thought, okay, there's a boy that's here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I know that's not enough, so I'm not even going to bring up the issue with Christ. But he had at least enough faith. He had at least enough courage to say, okay, Lord, I don't know how this can be enough for so many, but there is a lad here that has 5 barley loaves and 2. They weren't even big fish. I don't know if they're like little minnows or what. But he, and I've seen him sell them in the marketplaces, but he's got 2 little fish here. You know what barley, what that represented? Barley was about, I think they said it was much cheaper at the time than wheat. Now, I don't know how it's looked at today. Maybe some of you all know how barley and wheat compare. But at the time, they said barley was poor man's food. Yeah. It was like 2/3 the cost or 1/3 less, something like that. It was a lot cheaper than what wheat was. So he didn't have wheat bread. He had barley loaves. He might have had some little biscuits. Now, who was this lad? You know, we don't know. The scripture does not say who he is. Now, there's been some speculation, and I'll share a little bit. One of them was that he was there selling things to the crowd. You ever gone somewhere there's a big crowd and there's someone out peddling something? They're trying to make some money. So he might have been out and he had a few barley loaves and his 2 little fish. Maybe he was down at the end of the supply. That's what some people have speculated. Others have thought that maybe this was the boy that carried the supplies for the disciples. You know, they traveled and they went and they may have had a boy with them that was carrying their supplies for them. So the lad here, all he has is 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. That's not enough for everybody. Or it might have been a boy that had a mother somewhere that said, son, you want to go out there and follow Jesus? You want to go out and see what's going on? Hold on a minute. Let me go put some food together for you. This little boy might have been planning, had a mother that was planning for the future. She was forward thinking. Here, everybody else went out there, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we don't have any food. Y'all ever gone, done something, and all of a sudden it's like, oh man, we should have packed a lunch. Should have brought something with us. We're going on a hike. Oh man, we should have brought some water with us. But there was a mother that was thinking about her son possibly, and it's like, son, I want to take care of you. Thank God for mothers that think through these things sometimes better than we do. Well, he said, well, I have some in the back of the van. Oh, thank the Lord for Mom. Yeah. You know, she packed it. She was thinking about it. So one mother just got a pad over here. That's good, but you know, this lad had a mother, and she might have packed his lunch. He said, go ahead and go, son, but here it is. But regardless of who he was, there was not enough for everybody. Well, but Andrew was willing to bring that little bit to Jesus. Now here's a question. Are we willing to bring our insufficiencies and the little that we have, are we willing to bring those to Jesus? Or do we too often say, the Lord can't use what I have? I've just got a few barley. I mean, this is poor people stuff. You know, there's someone over there that, you know, Brother Roger, he may have wheat loaves. That the Lord can use those wheat loaves. And all I've got is barley. I can't, it's not as good as what someone else has. You know the rest of this story? Do you know that the Lord is interested in us bringing our barley loaves? He's interested in us bringing what we have, as little or as insignificant as it might be, in saying, Lord, I don't know how you can use this. I don't know how you can use me. I've got some problems. I have some weaknesses. I've got some struggles, or I don't have much. Well, you know what? Everybody else, they're donating thousands of dollars, and all I've got is a 20, I might as well just keep my 20 because it's not going to make a difference. But do you know that when we place what we have in the hands of Jesus Christ, He can do great things with it? The Lord can do great things. But I wonder sometimes, thank God that Andrew was at least willing to say, hey, here's a little lad here. And the lad was willing to bring what he had. He can say, my mom packed this for me, or I was going to sell that. But he was willing to bring what he had in spite of his plans and purposes and say, Jesus, you can have what I have. I don't know how you're going to use it, but you can have the little I have. This morning, are we willing to give our loaves of barley to the Lord? You know, sometimes we can rationalize and we can say, it doesn't make sense. There's nothing he can do with it. You know, that is putting the limitation on Christ when we say that. Mm-hmm. He can do great things for you and in you and with you if we would be willing to place ourselves in His hands. So he brought it to Jesus, and Jesus is not limited. He's not limited by our inadequacies. I know this is being live streamed, and I don't know who all will hear this, but I will be vulnerable. There have been some times I'm speaking as a minister now, okay? It's like, Lord, I don't have the capability that I wish I had. I may not have the charisma that I wish I had. I don't have that ability. You know, some people, it's like, you know, they can do this, or this one can do that, or Lord, I don't have that. But do you know, the Lord is not interested in what I don't have. He's interested in me just coming and saying, Lord, if I can just be a vessel of clay, and I'm a willing vessel, and I don't know what you can do with me, but I'm willing to let you use me how you want, even if it's just my little barley loaf. Sometimes we look at it, compare ourselves among ourselves and look out what's out and say, well, Lord, I really don't have a lot. And the Lord's saying, I just want you to be willing. Just place yourself in my hands. You have something to offer this morning that no one else has to offer. You know that? You young people, you children, you older ones, you have something to offer to the Lord that no one else has. And if you hold on to your barley loaves, that means the rest of us might go hungry because the Lord was just wanting you to come and say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to use this, but I want to give it to you. And if we all sat back with our barley loaves, there wouldn't be anything being done. So Lord, maybe for me, maybe I can't preach like this one. And maybe we don't have a stadium full of thousands of people that just want to go hear Him preach over here. And maybe it seemed like it's not as effective. But Lord, I've got a mouth. If you can tell me what you want me to say, I'll say it in my inadequacies and pray that your Holy Spirit can take your word and work where you will.
Yes.
What about you? You have something that the Lord wants to use this morning. But we need to be willing, as Andrew and as this lad that came with his little lunch, his impoverished, his poor lunch, his barley loaves, and give them to the Lord in his inadequacies. So Jesus said in verse 10, he said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And so there were probably, 15, 20,000 people there, I would imagine. Jesus took the loaves. He took the barley loaves. He took the two little fish. And when he had given thanks, people say, I'm going to say the blessing. Lord, would you bless this food? Now, I did a little reading about when I was studying prayer a year or two ago. I did a little research. And really, when we pray, it's like we're saying, people say, well, I'm going to say the blessing. What are we saying? I'm saying thanks. I'm giving thanks to God. I mean, he provided this. I was like, Lord, now I will acknowledge when I'm in some other countries, I might get in trouble with my wife. I did at home, but I do literally pray, well, God, to sanctify the food. Make it clean, to all the impurities. Lord, clean it up. But it is a place of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. And that's what Jesus did here. He didn't say, Lord, would you just take these barley loaves and do something better? Lord, I don't really like what's on the table. Would you please do? But rather, he took the little and he gave thanks. The Lord wants us to give thanks. He created you. Please don't get tired of hearing me saying it. He created you as a unique individual. He didn't create you to be like me. He didn't create me to be like you. He created us with our uniqueness, with our diversity of looks, of talents, of weaknesses, of personality. And what he's asking is, will you give me your barley loaves? And he will give thanks. And when Jesus took that which was insufficient and he blessed it in giving of thanks, you know what happened? It said here, he distributed to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would, and when they were filled, from 5 loaves and 2 fish, there was enough to feed thousands of people. That was impossible. How could something so poor? But it took place because there was a little boy, there was a lad that had a lunch or had some food, and he was willing to place it in the hands of the Savior. And when Jesus took it in his hands and gave thanks, it multiplied it. God can take your insufficiency this morning when you place it in his hands, and he can do some wonderful things in your life. And he can use your insufficiencies and what seems poor to you, and he can bless us because of your poverty. But the question is, are we willing to place our lunch in the hands of the Savior? Matthew 14 in the 20th chapter says, they did all eat and were filled. Mm-hmm. There was no lack. Many times we judge things on how small or difficult they appear rather than judging things based upon the magnitude of God. Mm-hmm. So how are you looking at things this morning? Are you looking at the impossibilities? Are you looking how small it is, how insufficient? Or are you looking at that and saying, but I see how big God is. God wants to do great things this morning. They were all filled, and he told his disciples, go and gather up the fragments. And you remember how much was left? 12 baskets full. 12 baskets full. Everybody ate as much as they want. I remember one time after we were newly married, I think we were invited to someone's house. I've eaten a lot of poor people's huts, okay? And just for them to bring anything was a sacrifice. And I didn't complain. I was moved by their love for me. But we went to someone's house and they could have afforded it. But it was like there was a limited amount. It was like each person could have one little portion. And I told her, and I said, I would much rather have twice as much as we needed than for one person to go away, kind of like that last piece of pizza thing. You know, everybody wants it, nobody takes it. You know, I would much rather be left with a whole extra pizza in knowing that everybody ate all they wanted to eat. You know what? That's just me. If you go and you give me one little, that's all right. I don't have any stones to throw, but this is not what happened here. There was enough for everybody to eat, get filled up, and there were 12 baskets full of food left. That's what happens when we place things in the hands of God. They gathered it up, and the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So what was left over was greater than where they had begun. So, who in the crowd here? Who has a lunch? Anybody have any barley loaves this morning? See, I'm not as capable. That's not what it's about. I'm not as talented. I wish I were more talented. I wish I were more gifted. I wish there were things I could. But you know what? I need to accept this is how God made me. This is how God made you. And what the Lord is looking for is not our greatness. He is looking for our willingness to sacrifice what we have and place it in His hands. The body of Christ needs what you have to offer this morning. But it's not going to be coming from yourself. It's coming from when you take what you have and place it in the hands of the Master. So as we go out and live this week, I'd like you to examine your barley loaves. Are you holding it a little bit close? I've only got enough for me. I don't have enough. Or will you be willing to start opening up your heart and saying, Lord, I want to place what I have in your hands, and you can do with it what you want. You can leave it in the basket. You can give it out. But Lord, I want it to be in your hands. This is what's needed in the body of Christ. We need, in a greater way, saints, to place what we have in the hands of the Lord without trying to dictate to Him what He needs to do with it. Lord, this is yours. And I am so thankful that the Lord is still taking our insufficiencies. He's still taking the barley loaves and He's multiplying and using it for His glory. Amen.